back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into August. We've got fake football being played now, and Lamar Jackson playing now, Rashad Bateman, maybe not. But from a football perspective, that's how I met this guy. But he does money kind of the way I do crab cakes. He's making sure no shell is left unturned in your big picture. Leonard Raskin joins us now from Raskin Global. I'm wearing the shirt. I'm wearing two shirts. I got my State Fair shirt. Look, we keep it like an ice box, and you're like, we have crab in here at this point. Are you crabbed out with me? Are you feeling crabby? I mean, I know you love good. Crab cakes, so you're watching.
I do, and I'm checking in, and I'm waiting for you to have the perfect crab cake. Obviously haven't found it yet, but you're going to in Timonium. So we'll give it some time. And I don't work there. I'm not, I get nothing for it. I'm getting nothing out of this deal, but it's as good as it gets. So we'll see what happens as
I know the folks at the Pappas people, I'm in contact with them. So yeah, listen, look, I got to say this because I haven't told anybody this because people are after me on the internet. So I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to write about it a little bit more. This thing was designed this month to not eat crab cakes near home, right? Like this was designed to eat them elsewhere because when I come back every Friday for the rest of my career, and this is my 30th anniversary, so I'm certainly going to be doing it this year as part of what I'm doing. Every Friday, I'm going to pick a new place locally, Hampden, Glen Burnie, Catonsville, you know, locally, Timonium, Hunt Valley, Cockeysville, wherever you are. So, and it's been sort of serendipity. I've said this is serendipity. That's the tour. That's been my word for the month. And it even turned up at the James Taylor concert the other night. We did not get wet. There was a double rainbow. Don Moeller wound up getting tickets from Damian O'Doherty, who gave me his tickets, and I wound up in the 10th row, and there's James Taylor, and we had a wonderful night. So, like, serendipity.
How old is James Taylor?
You know
what? 100 now.
No!
Do you think he's north or south
of 75? What do you think?
I mean, James Taylor in the Wayback Machine when he had hair and was like the rocking dude.
You just call out my name.
And there you
he's
go.
He's 73. You know, 73.
73. God bless.
He looks 61. He looks beautiful. Okay. By the way, Jackson Brown, I go to sit down and someone made some snide comment about Jackson Brown because he looks older and he's gray. He has a gray beard.
What are you going to do?
You know what? I said to my wife as he was there singing The Pretender, you know, I said to my wife, I'm like, he looks beautiful. He looks appropriate. He looks the way is Jackson Brown older or younger than James Taylor? What do you think?
I think he's probably younger.
I think he's older.
I would say a couple younger.
Okay, hold on. Let's find out here. Jackson Brown is he's 73. They're 72. 72. They're the same year. Jackson Brown's not. They're both born in 48, okay? So I was born in 68.
It's unreal.
Yeah. I mean, have you been to a concert since this thing happened yet?
I have not. But the fact that these guys are still out there knocking it out, I'm sure the place was packed.
It was packed.
I mean, not only do people want to get out, but you got the baby boomers want to see those nostalgic shows and to get out there and see that. Look, I remember seeing Ted Nugent.
All right.
Opening with Blackfoot and Molly Hatchet back in the day at the Cap Center. And that was a show. And now you see Ted Nugent out there. The dude is still rocking. I mean, he's not doing as much, but the dude is still out there. And I heard an interview with him, I heard an interview with him recently, and he was talking about all the guys that he was contemporaries with. And how he remembers them all being drunk and stoned all the time. And he said he never did any of that.
I've interviewed Ted Nugent a couple times.
He was sober.
I spent some time with Ted.
And straight up the whole time. And he remembers them and the people that have died that he was talking about that were his contemporaries. And so you see these guys last night, Jackson Brown, James Taylor, you see them hanging out and doing the show at this age, man. You just got to give them their props. Whoever's whining, what were they doing there? If they're whining, what were they there for?
Leonard, here's the deal. And this is true. Jackson Brown in the show, not Jackson Brown, excuse me, James Taylor in the show, at one point sort of dedicated a song and said he wrote the song about John Belushi, whom he was very close with in New York, probably a heroin buddy. And he said that Belushi's death changed his life. It changed the trajectory of his life and that he got sober. And, you know, famously, you know, James Taylor had had drug problems. And so and by the way, the Ted Nugent thing, I interviewed Ted back in the day. I still have the interview. I've never aired it. I have to clean it up a little bit. Ted was a little saucy, as you can imagine, back in the 80s.
But
I completely remember being backstage with Ted Nugent, him hitting on the girl I was with, and she remembers it too because I saw her recently, 4th of July, Dundalk friend of mine. But literally, I remember how sober he was. And I've been with Ted two or three times over the years in that post-show kind of environment, backstage at Hammer Jacks in 1987. Ted was very sober. So, there, I mean, there was never any question about that. Leonard Raskin is here. We're going to talk some rock and roll. By the way, I've been to a couple concerts, and I ask you if you've been to concerts yet, because I went indoor with Bruno Mars last Friday at National Harbor.
There you go. There you
85% of people were wearing their masks indoor at Jackson Browne and James Taylor. I would say it was more maybe 20-25% of people had masks on at Merriweather, and it was great. Yeah. By the way, I looked up and I saw these giant blades spinning at Merriweather. All I remember about Merriweather in all of my youth, and the first show I ever reviewed there was Jackson Browne. I put the ticket up in June of 1986, 35 years ago, right? So
crazy.
I remember every night it got above like 82 to 85. You would just boil. I remember Halen and Jimmy Buffett shows down there where I'm just drenched in my own sweat in the pit, right? Because there's just never any air. Now with COVID, and I talked to Martin Knott a lot about this from Air LLC and like what air is going to be. But the circulation, I felt the breeze. And it felt like it kept the mosquitoes away from us even after the rainstorm. Leonard, I talk about Merriweather, and you talk about those things that mean something in your life, that mark a point in your life. When I'm finding ticket stubs from Jackson Browne in 1986 and thinking about the Cars ticket stub, and those guys are dead, right? So a couple of those guys, the guys, the primary guys in the band don't exist anymore. And you think about all these years and how fortunate we are, you know what I mean, to be able to go see a show. And that's why I'm sort of soaking this in. I have my mask in my pocket. I don't feel like I've been in any place. My wife and I put our mask on in a few places in National Harbor because we felt like there's no air moving here. And like, we're, you know, but we're being, we're vaccinated, we're responsible. The business part of what's happening to all of this is, and James Taylor alluded to this. He said, you know, I'm so fortunate. It feels incredible here. He's 73, as you pointed out. And he said, I don't know if it's wise, but I know we're here. You know, we're here. Yeah, we're in this moment, this space right now. Let's enjoy this. And I've had some magical nights. I mean, Springsteen needed vax cards. I had my vax card. Merriweather at 9:30 now, beginning Sunday, if you go, you're going to Merriweather, you have to be vaccinated to walk into the site. So it's about to get a little bit more. I've been on the Eastern Shore. I've been around. I've been places where they hate CNN. I've been to places where Coco's has a mask mandate, right? So we're in this state. We're all in it together. We're trying to make it work. I have enjoyed being with people again. You know what I mean?
Like, it's great. It's what it's all about. The socialization, man. We got it. We're social creatures. We got to be out there. We got to make it happen. And like you said, Baltimore City jumps back into the mask mandate world on indoor stuff. So our Orioles and Ravens are sending out blasts saying on the concourse, in the bathroom, in the club level, masks. When you're at your seat, you don't have to wear a mask. You can wear a mask if you want to wear a mask.
I'm put off by it. You know, I'm put off by it when I shave and it itches a little bit and I was stupid. Like, I went to National Harbor. This is a good story for you. You know Donna Edwards is a longtime congresswoman.
Yeah, we
talked for an hour and a half over Crab Cake at the Crab Cake Cafe about how she fought the project because the developers came in and busted eagle's nests, literally, to make the land not have eagles on it. And there was all this stuff. She now lives there and... but this means, you know, and I talked to her about it at length politically about all the aspects of it. But I saw a community sort of pop up and it was wonderful. But here's what happened. We sat down at 3 p.m. on Friday before Bruno Mars at 3:03. I got there 3 minutes late for a congresswoman, which is, you know, they're usually on time, right? So I'm there we came down the steps. She had her mask on. She has MS. She has primary. She's debilitating MS, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And she's got a man, she couldn't go into the restaurant. I mean, sort of like, you know, serious, there are people like that out there that we need to protect, right? And she took her mask off. We had a crab cake. It was lovely. We were outside. It was a little hot, you know, the whole deal. But it really did open my eyes to why I needed a mask in my pocket when I'm hanging out with her, because I've been hanging out with you and a lot of other people eating crab cakes. And I don't want to get anybody sick. You know what I mean? Right. I could be a carrier, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's crazy. Look, it's just a crazy time. You don't know who's sitting across from you. You don't know if they've been vaccinated, not vaccinated, if they're sick, if they're not sick. These breakthrough things, people are getting sick, but you know, supposedly with, if you have the vaccine, you don't get too sick. You just get like a flu bug, but it's not terrible.
Then Lamar, then there's Lamar, right? Who's right. No vaccination.
Got COVID twice, you know, and I'm kind of, you know,
why is this political in that way?
It shouldn't be. See, here's
you
here's
and I don't agree on much politically, but look, we have love and mutual respect, and we like, hey, science. You send your kid to school to learn this stuff, hopefully, right?
I've read some of the editorial. I've listened to some of the press, one of the things that bugs me is these people that say he's got to get the shot to be a role model for his fans, and I'm thinking, if you're taking your medical advice from Lamar Jackson, you got a problem. You know, this is not the guy I'm looking to make my medical decisions. Now, he clearly has to listen to the trainers, and he has to listen to his conscience, and he has to listen to his God, and he has to listen to his doctors, and whatever he decides to do is his decision. And I don't think it's up to anybody. This is my big thing about the mandates that they're talking about. I don't think it's up to anybody to tell somebody else, you got to put something in your body, inject yourself with, it doesn't really matter.
If you want to function in our society and you want to be out amongst other people unvaccinated, that's kind of not in the spirit of what a plague is all about and what modern science has come to do with polio.
But it's,
and
to me, yeah, different, same but different. Again, we're in a different time. We're in a different space. There's the information out there is different. You know, I don't disagree with what you say. At the same time, I think, you know, personal. This is the body. This is my.
Well, if Meriwether doesn't want to let you in to see Alanis at the end of the month because you're
then you just don't go.
Then you're not coming.
Go. Well, and that's fine.
I saw a guy lose his effing mind. Leonard, I was in New York. I was at Springsteen. First night with my wife, I went twice quietly. Yep. Went up because I love Bruce, and I'm back at this point where you are, where I spent an evening with Jackson Browne and James Taylor, and there was real value in my heart, in my soul about that in the middle of a crab cake tour after watching my wife survive, you know, like all the magic that's happened in the world. There's something about wanting to be with Bruce. I saw a guy lose his mind about the vaccination thing on the security, screaming, I'm an effing lawyer.
Stupid.
I'll sue you.
That's
screaming out on 48th Street when everything said, like, we're not letting you in. We're not making an exception.
See,
no matter
no
what.
Issue. I got no issue with them saying that as a business. I got no issue with a guy not being vaxxed. But guess what? You know, you can have your personal choices. And to me, in this world, you get to make personal choices. In our country, especially, the freedom and liberty over the one's body is sacrosanct and is the most private and personal thing you've got. If the government takes that away, I think we're all in deeper trouble. So I think it's more philosophical there than medical. But
well, you sound like an NFL PR guy now saying our players, like, you know,
that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean you don't have to live with the consequences of your decision. You get to make the decision. You get to decide whether or not to be vaxxed. But if there's a place that doesn't let you in without the vax card and you ain't got it, then you ain't going there. And you can decide, I don't care. You know, some people are out there saying, if this place requires a vaccine, I'm not going to shop there. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to eat there. I'm not going to do whatever there. That's your right. And that's perfectly fine. See, I'm all about personal liberties and freedom. So the answer is, if I get vaccinated and I can go wherever I want to go, great. If I'm not vaccinated, I got to live with the consequences of not being vaccinated. And if that means I can't go to certain places, then I can't be screaming and bitching about that choice. I can make my choice, but I can't suffer the consequences of my action. You know, you get to make your decision. You get to live with the bed you make. You know, in my world, financial, let's face it, there are people, and what's the, you'll know the song, right? If you choose not to decide,
Well, that's a rush. I mean, that's Neil Peart. So hold on.
Right. I'm just saying.
Take them. Speaking of reasons I go to concerts, because I'm never going to see Rush again. Like, that's literally, right?
So here's my point. So in my world, people choose to save money. And some people, I see people that make not what you and I would consider a lot of money, save a lot of money as a percentage of their income. And I see people that make a lot of money that you and I would consider a lot of money, not save much of anything of their income. And both those groups have consequences to their actions. And there is no right or wrong as to what you do, but there are repercussions of your decision. And if you choose not to save and not to invest prudently and not understand what you're doing with your money, you can find yourself poor and your cash lost. On the other hand, if you're prudent and you save and you invest wisely, you can end up with, you know, abundance in your life financially that you may not have otherwise had. So you can save or not save, you can invest or not invest. And those are choices we make. And as a result of that, there are repercussions and results that we end up with in our lives. And that's kind of how it goes. So with the vax, not vax, look, Lamar chooses not to get vaxxed. And middle of the season, God knows, heaven forbid, he gets COVID again. And causes the team to lose a game or two or not be in the schedule. And who knows what happens. He, the Ravens, and the world he lives in have to live with those repercussions. And then what impact does that have on his future and contract and everything else? That's between him and his team and so on and so forth. You know, that's what they got to live with. So I don't have a problem with anybody out there doing what they do relative to their flesh and blood, but there's consequences to it. You got to live with them. That's what's coming on.
Leonard Raskin is here. We do not take medical advice from Lamar Jackson or anyone in his inner circle, from what I'm gathering. Don't take your financial advice from fools either. Go to RaskinGlobal.com. You go check the website out. There's going to be some seminars in September upcoming and football season. Are you excited about the – I mean, give me a little football-like – it's training camp, you know, groins and pulls and stuff on rookies, but it's never a good sign, right?
It's not good.
Yeah. And the whole, you know, part of this, we don't kick to the 13th. It doesn't feel close enough yet. I mean, I guess when the Crab Cake Tour is over, one of the things about the Crab Cake Tour ending at the end of the month was they don't play for another 2 weeks. You know, it's sort of a really late calendar this year.
Well, you know, for me, weekend of the 14th game, the New Orleans game, I'll be in Columbus, Ohio. The boy
dotting
goes back
the
to
eye
school.
And, dotting the eye. Yes,
that's exactly right. So for me, we only have one preseason game, I think, this year. So, you know, here in Baltimore. Yeah. So I'll be missing that one. Already have the tickets sold. I'm still amazed what people will pay. So good for them.
Drew
or not
Brees still? No, he's not. Yeah, yeah.
No, Drew, I don't even know who's there. Who is there? It's the crab guy. What's his name?
Wade Wilson, I think. Yeah. Archie.
Right, Archie. Hey, speaking of Archie, I got to tell you.
I go through them all. Aaron Brooks, I could throw a million of them at you.
I think Peyton Manning has got the most incredible comedic timing. The dude, if he was not a quarterback, could have been a stand-up comedian. He is so good. Now, I don't know if
I haven't watched his speech yet.
Oh, I don't know if he writes his stuff or if other people write for him.
I don't think he would let anybody write for him. I don't think he would.
I was just going to say, I'll never forget the Saturday Night Live episode he was on when he was throwing footballs at those little kids and cracking them in the head. You remember that, right?
You know what? If I ever interviewed him, like, and I've been in his presence many times. He's a wonderful guy. Brandon Stokely's his best friend, right? Sat on the field after with their kids, you know. I ever got in a situation to interview him and have a little fun with him at a Super Bowl or whatever, I would ask him whether that was his idea or whether that was, you know, who
I don't know,
who
but
in the troop came up with the idea.
Hysterical. It was hysterical.
It still is hysterical.
On, it, absolutely. And from that, the ESPN commercials with Eli when they're kicking each other like little kids. And his speech, you know, the first few minutes of it were comedic genius. And then after that, it became, you know, a little more serious about football and life and all that. But I've seen him personally. I've had the chance to meet him again. The things that amaze me, you know, I'll never forget being in Denver. It was it Denver? when, yeah, Ray Lewis's game in Denver, when we came back and the Mile High Miracle, he was there, right? He was in Denver?
Correct.
And yeah, and the story that he waited.
I was in the locker room when it happened. There was me, Chad Steele, and the two of them. Yes, I was
hung out to talk to Ray.
You know why I didn't leave the locker room? I had nowhere to go. It was 3 degrees outside.
It was
we were avoiding leaving. I know I shot a video on the field huffing and puffing, and my wife and I were going to a Ravens victory party over at Choppers in Cherry Creek.
There you go.
I mean, dude, that was one of the great nights
of my
life. It was so cold.
It was so cold. My phone froze in my pocket. It wouldn't work.
Were you in Denver?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Come on.
Oh, I was sitting right behind. I didn't know you were there. Okay.
Yeah. I was sitting 50-yard line behind the Ravens bench. It was beautiful. It was so phenomenal. Leonard,
my wife and I had
watching the man run down the sideline. Oh,
we had heating packs in our gloves, in our boots. Yep. In the press box.
Yeah, I hear you.
Once it went to OT and then it went again, I went back to use the restroom and I came out and Eric DaCosta and I were using the bathroom at the same time. It was like, there weren't a whole lot of media people there. It was frozen, right?
It was freezing.
And I just remember looking at him and him looking at me and thinking, is this like a Twilight Zone? Like, I'm wearing gloves in the men's room. It was freezing. We're playing football all night. You know, it was like literally, I have not sat and watched that game again. It was one of the greatest football games ever, right?
I haven't. And right in front of my face was Jacoby Jones rushing down the field. It was so phenomenal. It was so outstanding. I was with the wife and the boy. We had a blast.
Leonard,
and
the press box was empty. Everyone had left because the game was over. The game was over. Everybody was on the elevators. The game was over. And when that ball went in the air, I mean,
stunning.
I don't know that there's a greater moment, you know, in Ravens history for sure.
It was top three. I'll give it top three. I don't know
the
order, but I'll give it top three. I'm saying winning that Super Bowl with the closeout that it took to win after the lights went out in New Orleans, that's got to be up there in the top.
Okay, the last play. Okay,
yeah, the last plays of that series. And my top three other is my boy Anquan Boldin blocking on 4th and a mile and taking the guy's heads off against San Diego.
4th and 29. Eric Weddle still doesn't like that play when I bring that one up.
Oh my God, that was so extraordinary. I think that's why they changed the rules about crackback blocking because of him or something. That play, 4th down, I was going to Cincinnati that night for a business trip starting the next day. I missed my flight out because I stayed at home to watch the end of that game.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That to me was such an extraordinary play. It just sits in my brain as one of those top plays. I mean, there's many others, but those three just resonate in my brain as such top, incredible, incredible plays.
Well, the Ray Lewis stop on Sproles in the middle, I was on the field when that happened at the Murph in the corner. When the 4th and 29, I was in the press box. And
I
remember,
unreal.
I mean, literally at the 50-yard line in the old Murph, watching that zigzag thing happen.
Crazy.
And like,
The band is on the field.
I saw the opening that he could make it. There was that 2 seconds where I had a really good view of it to say, he's got pasture. He's got a little bit of green and he's elusive. He's got to miss one and miss one other and he can make it. And damn if he didn't. Let her ask it. You're getting my blood pumping for football season right now. Raskin's on his way to find it. See, this is why, I mean, it's great to have sponsors. It's great to have crab cakes. But it's even more important to have enthusiasm, I think. Leonard will protect your money and give you good advice with the same kind of enthusiasm you can find him at Raskin Global. Crab Cake Tour, are you I know you're following along. And I hope I'm showing enough enthusiasm for it. I mean, I'm picking up people. We're interviewing folks. We're going to be down at Mako at the political convention. I've invited Larry Hogan. You talk about Democrats and Republicans. I started the tour with Rick Meehan in Ocean City and Barry Glassman. It has been a fascinating ongoing conversation about crabs, H-2 visas, J-1s, Baltimore people going to the Eastern Shore and making crab cakes, where crabs come from, finding people in Southern Maryland who hate CNN who have crab pots out and they literally bring the rockfish in, flop it on the plate and serve it to you. Like,
absolutely.
I have seen the full political spectrum on this, and I'm only 10 days in. I mean, like,
I was going to say, you got a whole month to go.
I had a couple of crab cakes that, you know, along the way that I was like, I think in Southern Maryland, they just make crab cakes different. And I think they serve them different. They serve them with tartar sauce. I don't get it. I don't really get the cocktail sauce thing so much, but tartar sauce would put on fish sticks to me.
No. I'll do cocktail sauce if it's a bad crab cake.
Well, that's the point. The point is to not eat a bad crab cake, right?
Right. A good crab cake, you shouldn't eat anything but the crab cake.
And maybe a beer. Maybe a beer.
Oh, well, sure, you got to have a drink. But you know, the crab cake is the crab cake. You don't need to... I mean, look, you go out for a great steak, you mess it up with some ketchup, or God forbid you ask for the A1 at the crab house, the chef's going to come out and butcher you.
No, you don't
mess up a crab cake with bad sauce. No, that's not the way to do it.
All right, so I'm getting into this thing, and I've talked a lot about the quality of the meat, freshness, paramount. Yep. I was down at J.M. Clayton in Cambridge watching them pull the crabs off, watching the Mexican gals, the H-2B workers, like, do this ninja Olympic thing that they do. I have video. You'll see it all. It's all coming. I had a long chat with Jack Brooks from there with Damie that's airing right now, that's up at Baltimore Positive, where you can learn about the industry. So that's the fresh part. Then there's the, what do you put in it? What's the filler? The filler to me. Yeah. Is the flavor, right? So whatever you're mixing in, dry mustard, wet mustard, mayonnaise, parsley, secret spices, whatever those things are, J.O., Old Bay, whatever you're doing with
Progresso
it.
Progresso breadcrumbs.
Okay. Maybe it's crackers. Maybe it's bread.
Right.
Every single one of these. And there's the technique of the temperature you cook it, where you cook it, the platter you cook it on. Every
broiled
part of this. Broiled or fried, almost everybody broils it, but there's a technique that's broiled and fried that I never knew, that is a heat-based thing with a skillet that I'm learning from chefs, right? But here's the key. There's two parts to this that I'm going to give away, and you're the first one to learn the secret, Leonard. And I learned this in Columbia on Tuesday night, the 10th, at James Taylor, before James Taylor. We went to a place called Leland's, L-E-E-L-Y-N-N, Leland's Restaurant. Yep. It's in Columbia. Highly recommended. It was the chunkiest, thickest, lumpiest crab that I had had. Here's two things. When I'm eating it, I ordered the 3.5 ounce, and she offered me the 7 ounce at like a nice discount. You know, it's 20 or 33. And I'm like, I've had a crab cake every day. I'm just going to get the small one. So I order the small one. It comes in this beautiful salad, and we're getting after it with walnuts and stuff, apple stuff my wife likes, beautiful, beautiful vinaigrette. I've had great dressings, like a honey lime vinaigrette. It's unbelievable. So we're eating it, and the crab cake's small to begin with, and my wife starts getting after it. My wife began this marriage not eating crab meat at all, not liking crab meat. So now she's eating it, and when she comes back to eat more – that's a tell. Okay. So I'm trying to get some tells. When she comes back for more, and when I'm pissed at her for eating it, and then I think to myself, I should have ordered more. And then here's the other part. Here's the part where this is where it marinates. Okay. When you go home and you're asleep in the middle of the night, and you wake up and you're thinking, I can't wait to go back there. You know,
when you
find the place you want to go back, and I've already found one or two or three of those, like legitimate, like, oh my God, you know, I can't wait to go back there. I got a place
that's pretty excellent
that I might go back next week because it was so good. You like, it was just so good. And
excellent.
So that's what you're looking for, right? I mean, do you say perfect? They're all, I've had 5 or 6 crab cakes. I'm 11 days in. I've had 13 or 14 crab cakes in 11 days. I'm about to go to Annapolis, doing Cecil County. I'm getting around, and we're going west, the whole deal. I've had 5 or 6 that have been exemplary. It's completely different. Completely different.
No,
all of them were different. So you're asking, what's the best one? Well, this one had more mustard. That one had more mayonnaise. I told Damie this after doing Southern Maryland. Come back. I'm like, there is nothing like a Fadley's crab cake. I haven't had anything like a Costas. There's been nothing to taste it. And some of these have made me want a Costas because it's like, and it's so familiar to me. Right. And Fadley's is so familiar to me, but none of of these are like Fadley's. None of these are like Costas. None of these are going to be like your friends at Pappas. And I have never had a Conrad's crab cake. So I've had one Coco's crab cake in my life. So there's a lot of these places I've never been to. This has been a joy. I mean, it's really
absolutely.
So thank you for sponsoring it. Thank you for being a part
pleasure.
Of it. It's really been a lot of fun so far.
I'm looking forward to going and eating a couple crab cakes with you.
Did I make you hungry?
I'm ready.
Your place is in Delaware at the beach, right?
It is. We're in Bethany.
All right, I'm going to give you one last story before I let you go. Batman and I were drinking late. Imagine that. Fishtails, right? We're down, like we used to, right? So Batman and I, he's smoking like a Jimmy, and I'm like, blow that out. You know, like we fight. We're
right,
friends
right.
like that. So you got to go to Woody's. You got to go to Woody's. I'm like, Bat, Woody's is in Delaware. It's a Maryland tour. You got to go to Woody's. I'm like, well, maybe if Woody's wants me to have a crab cake, here's what. I'm going down for the political convention 2 weeks from now. If Woody's wants me to try their crab cake, they can bring it to the Ocean City Convention Center, to the Mako, okay? If they bring it to Ocean City, I'll consider it a Maryland crab cake. How about that? Is that fair?
There you go.
But I'm not going to Delaware on this tour to do anything other than see Foreigner.
No.
You at the Foreigner show this week?
What's that?
Oh, you're with your kid. Foreigner, the weekend of the 21st, is playing the Selbyville Freeman Pavilion. You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right by your
yeah,
head.
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
Probably hear
yeah.
the music from there, right?
21st.
It's next Saturday night. We're going.
I might be around.
Well, I'm sneaking into Delaware. Don't tell anybody. But,
well, it's a show. Foreigner, I haven't seen them in 100 years.
Feels that's like the first time, baby. Cold as
Amen.
Ice.
Amen. Cold as ice, I know.
Leonard, I am the original dirty white boy. Leonard, I appreciate you, man. We'll stay hot-blooded here. Raskin Global is the way to find Leonard. And, of course, you can always find him at Baltimore Positive. Appreciate you, bro. I'll have a crab cake soon, all right?
Absolutely.
Back off the road, putting miles out there. A big appreciation to Dennis and our friends at Coons for giving me that Bronco the first weekend. It was big. It was beautiful. I wasn't allowed to pick my nose. I had to drive between the lines. People were looking at me. That's just the way it rolls when you roll in a 22 Ford Bronco from our friends at Coons Ford Security Boulevard. So see Dennis, our friends at Royal Farms that put us on the road and gassed us up. Our friends at Wise have powered me with delicious coconut water. I've been picking up gold watermelon on the road. I've been picking up fruit. Thank you to all of our sponsors. We are WNSD AM 1570. The hashtag Crab Cake Tour. I'll make you hungry too. We're BaltimorePositive.com.